Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news as we discuss, should Michael Carrick seriously be being considered for the Manchester United job now after two fantastic wins against Arsenal and Man City and a clear path to Champions League football? Roy Keane says no, no matter what. I say something a little bit in between. What are your thoughts? Also, we're hearing that Ndidi to Manchester United this week is still very real. Is that a good deal? Is it a bad deal? You look at the midfield yesterday, he can't make any subs. I'm not saying Mainoo was bad or good. I'm not saying Casemiro had loads of energy at the end. And I'm not saying Bruno had a great 90 minutes. But it shows you if Michael Carrick doesn't want to take off any of his midfielders for 90 minutes, he needs some help, doesn't he? He does need some help. So lots to get into on the show this morning. But let's start off with Michael Carrick. Look, some fascinating opinions last night and this morning around Carrick coming in from our ex-player community. You've got the Glazer supporter Rio coming out with shit again. We'll talk about what he said. But then you've got Roy Keane coming out with something very extreme, saying even if he wins every single game between now and the end of the season and gets Champions League football, he shouldn't get the job. Is that too far? Is there a place in the middle here? Well, we'll discuss that. But the first thing I want to say this morning, is that I was walking Seb to school, my son, this morning, and we were talking about the match and we were talking about the goals, and he's got a couple of Arsenal fans in his, he's had a good couple of weeks because there's a Man City fan in his class. They got it last Monday. There's two Arsenal fans in his class. They're going to get it today. All the joy of being a school kid and going in on a Monday morning and bantering your mates because your team won. But you know what he said to me on the walk to school this morning? He said, I'm starting to believe in this Man United side. And just like he said a few years ago, Harry Maguire will bounce back. And I thought, what does a six-year-old know? I was walking to school this morning and I thought, you know what? Sometimes the simplest words are the ones that resonate the most. I'm starting to believe in this Manchester United side. Well, son, I believe in you and I hope you're right, because that's a big statement. That's a big statement this Monday morning. Look, beating Arsenal, beating Man City, we've done it before. We've done these types of performances before, but it's the consistency to go and do it week in, week out, and you need that belief to do that. And I think that, you know, I am, you know, interested in those words. I'm starting to believe in this Man United side, because I tell you what, if I was a Man United player, I'd listen to those words, because belief is not something we've had. Results, they can happen. The switch can go on. We've seen it before, but we saw it yesterday. It was brilliant. But belief, now that is a word that I think is one that isn't used very often around Manchester United. And also, I think we can tread the path that I said last Monday morning. You can support the team and the manager and want regime change. I think those two things are very difficult for some people to establish. And I would say, look, no matter what happens with the new manager, I pretty much guarantee we will be back here in 2 years' time replacing a manager, because we can beat Man City, we can beat Arsenal, but I do not believe over a 38-game season, this squad, this club can get anywhere near a title. We're still 9 points off Villa and Man City. We're still 12 points off Arsenal, even in fourth. How do you bridge that gap? I don't think we have the ownership structure to do it. So look, the protest should go ahead next Sunday. I've heard people today going, oh, let's not do the protest because we won a couple of games. And this is why people win. This is why the Glazers win, because we have certain people in our fan base who can't differentiate between extremities. It's one way or the other. You know, Carrick's a genius and Amrim's a knobhead. People don't understand that Amrim is the only manager we've had in 10 years that's actually removed the toxic culture in the dressing room. What other managers try to do that? So, you know, it's not, there are nuances to every argument, but there is no nuance to the fact that, in my opinion, the regime in charge will hold back anybody, whether it's Carrick, Tuchel or anything. I still will say that I do not see this United side getting anywhere near where it should do, regardless of the manager. Michael Carrick's not going to win every game every week for the next 3 years. That's not going to happen. He might be a good manager. He might deserve the job, but he's not going to take Man United back to the top, just the same as Thomas Tuchel won't. It won't happen, in my opinion. But I can support the team and be excited by results. I can do both those things, and I think a lot of people can. So, look, you get these ex-players like Rio, Glazer, coming out, I'll do this, do that. I've not heard you say a fucking word about protests. I've not heard you say a fucking word about the debt. I've not heard you say a fucking word about anything that actually matters. You're just a cheerleader for the Glazers. That's all you are. You just come out and shout shit. Like, well, Ollie, give Ollie whatever numbers he wants. We're back. Oh, I'm at a train station and I'm hearing in the next 24 hours that Qatar are going to buy the club. I don't forget those bullshits that he talks. He's full of shit. He's a good ex-player when everything's going right and he can be positive about it. But when it's real time to talk about Man United's issues, he goes silent because he's on the bloody payroll. So I'm not going to listen to Rio tell us what we should do about Michael Carrick. I mean, he was interviewing him 2 months ago. Of course he's going to give him the bloody job. But where are we on Michael Carrick? Because to be honest with you, I do listen to you. And we have a comment section here saying 58% no, 42% saying yes. That terrifies me. So Roy Keane said this: if Man United win every game until the end of the season, I still wouldn't give him the job. Are we going to sit here and pretend that Michael Carrick can get Man United winning league titles? Now, look, Roy Keane is entitled to his opinion. You know, Rio Ferdinand has basically insinuated that Roy Keane saying that is disrespectful and it's mad talk. I've heard people calling him brain dead. I mean, I think mad talk and brain dead are very offensive words for a player that, in my opinion, is my favourite player in my life as a Man United fan and an amazing captain and an amazing player. You don't have to agree with what he says, but I don't actually have a massive issue with what he's saying. Like, it's an opinion. And again, the opinion police are out in force. What he's saying is, if Man United win every game until the end of the season, I still wouldn't give him the job. Fine. I sort of get that because we have been down this road before. Are we going to sit here and pretend that Michael Carrick can get United winning league titles? Well, I disagree with this bit from Roy, because I'm not going to pretend that Thomas Tuchel can win Man United titles. I'm not going to pretend that Pep Guardiola can win Man United titles. I don't think saying Michael Carrick can't win Man United titles is fair to Carrick, because I don't think Tuchel or Mourinho or Ancelotti will win titles at Man United under that regime. But I haven't got a problem with him saying I wouldn't give him the job if he won every single game. Gary Neville, interestingly, this is what he said. He believes Manchester United have acted emotionally a number of times in the last 12 years. I honestly could not be happier with the last 2 weeks. The familiarity in what I'm watching feels like I'm watching my team play again properly. They played properly with intensity. I think it's right that Carrick keeps the job until the end of the season and then hands the baton over to a Tuchel or an Ancelotti or someone of that world-class ilk. Which is pretty much what Roy Keane's saying in a less blunt way. It's sort of like, look, what Carrick's doing is great. But in the summer, let's not make the same mistakes we made in the past. There's top class managers out there. Give them the job. That's not bad. My opinion, right, is this. Okay, and let me just be fair. This is what Rio Ferdinand said. Rio Ferdinand said, Michael Carrick has come in, turned the collars up on his long trench coat and said, get behind me. We're going to put you in a structure that's going to suit the players we actually have. We're going to be hard to play against. We're going to work hard and we're going to be a threat. And he's gone and got 6 points. And people are telling me that no matter what Carrick does, he shouldn't get an opportunity to manage Man United. Where do people get this? The disrespect is unbelievable. So someone to say no matter what the person does, he doesn't deserve to be given the keys to Man United. On what grounds are you saying that? That's mad talk. Well, you're on the payroll, mate, in my opinion. Until you start calling out protests, I think Rio's on the payroll. You know, I think he's a Glazer because he never says anything bad about the club and he's always at Carrington. So first and foremost, I don't value your opinion because I fear it is paid for and pro-United. The minute you start talking about protests and stuff, I'll start listening to stuff like that because I don't think you speak fairly. I think you speak tapped into the Man United ownership. So that's my first thing I would say. Secondly, it's not disrespectful to say that Michael Carrick shouldn't get the job. It's an opinion. Also, on what grounds are people saying that? Well, you know what, mate? It might be on the grounds that you sat there a few years ago saying, give Ollie the job, we're back. And we weren't back. We wasted 3 years. It might be on those grounds, mate, to be honest with you. Also, it's only 2 games. We've had 2 games and we beat Man City and Arsenal, which is fantastic. But you're telling me we should give the job to Carrick on 2 games? We know these players can flick the light switch like that. What if they flick the light switch, Rio? What if in a month we've gone and lost a couple of games to teams we should be beating? So it might be on those grounds. And some people might say, what the fuck are you talking about, saying Carrick should get the job? It's way too early. But I'd expect that from somebody who's a prospective influencer who plays on this society of flip-flop opinions without actual nuance. Because my opinion is, for what it's worth, and we're talking about three legends of the club there in Neville, Rio and Keane, and their opinions are obviously more valuable than me to many. My opinion is I'm just scared. I'm scared of giving it to Carrick. And if Carrick gets the job, I will say this. I really hope this works, but I'm scared. I'm really scared of giving it to Carrick for a multiple of reasons. And I wouldn't go as far as to say if we win every single game and we get the Champions League, I wouldn't give him the job. I think that's a big decision. It's a big call. But I'd still be scared because I'm scared. That's basically it. I'm not right. I'm not saying if you want to give Carrick the job, you're wrong. And I'm not saying if you don't want to give Carrick the job, you're right. I just personally am scared of giving Carrick the job. You know what I'm scared of? I'm scared of marrying somebody who I think might be the right person. And then the next week after I'm married, seeing the right person. That's what I'm scared of. I'm scared that my mates are telling me this is not the right person, but I think it might be. And it isn't the right person, you know? I'm scared of doing what we did with Ollie. I'm scared of doing that. And it's unfair to say that Carrick is Ollie, but in another way, Carrick was Ollie's interim. He literally was with Ollie. So, you know, Carrick was there with Ollie as well. So giving him the job under this regime scares me, because if we get this wrong, we miss out on a summer full of amazing managers. And the funny thing about football is you can finish 15th and halfway through the next season, you can be doing better than the team that finished first, Liverpool. So things can turn around really quickly. So if we give it to Carrick based on a strong end to the season and the Liverpool go and get Alonso and everyone else bounces back and we don't spend right in the summer and then we're stuck in eighth again, we're like, oh, fucking hell, what have we done? And that's what I'm scared about. Michael Carrick could be the next Sir Alex Ferguson. I mean, what is the chances of that? You know, he could be. But I won't be a hypocrite on this. I'm never going to go, yeah, this is definitely the right thing to do. Because there are no definites with Man United anymore. I think there is risk in everything. What if Carrick wins every single game and then we go and get Ancelotti? And Ancelotti struggles and everyone goes, what about Carrick? So, there is no right or wrong answer. I think there's bluster, there's noise, there's cheerleaders for the Glazers like Rio that worry me because they're so vocal and so many people listen to them. And all I'd say about him is look through his history. It's pro, 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 never anything negative about the Glazers. So I don't trust him. Roy Keane probably has a little bit of an issue with Carrick, so I don't necessarily trust him. I trust my opinion on this and I have to. I'm just scared. I'm scared of making that choice and missing out on an opportunity in the summer. But I'll tell you this for free. I'll tell you this for free. I'm relaxed. I'm not stressed. There's no point. It's not my choice. It's not my decision. I'm not going to be sitting here going, don't give Carrick the job if we keep winning games. I'm just going to say I'm scared about doing it. Gary Neville, in a way, is right. Man United have made emotional decisions over the last few years. Giving Ollie the job was a contradiction to what Edward Wood said. Edward Wood said, we're going to wait till the summer and assess the situation. They gave him the job in March because they listened to the song and they got emotional. I absolutely think no matter what, United need to show no emotion in this. Michael Carrick shouldn't get the job in April or March. There should be an interview process and then you give it him. But you shouldn't be giving it him just because of what happens this season without interviewing other candidates. It's like I say, it's like marrying the person you think's the person without playing the field a little bit before you commit. You might find something even better. I think that's really, really important. But my honest opinion is they'll give him the job. So if you want Carrick to get the job, I think they're going to give him the job. I'm 90% sure they'll give him the job. Not because of your reason. I think they'll give him the job because he's cheap. You give the job to Tuchel, he's going to want 15 to 20 million for his staff and him. Carrick won't want anywhere near that. He's already got his coaching staff with Woodgate and Holland. And also, if Tuchel comes in, he's going to go, I want this, this and this. I want this budget. Whereas I think Carrick will go, thank you so much for the job. Give me what you want. So I think we've got to look at our ownership model and go, they're going to go with Carrick. I'll be stunned if they don't go with Carrick, even now, not even knowing the next 10 results. I'll be stunned if they don't give Carrick the job, because this is what the Glazers do. It's cheap, it's popularist, and they'll do it because they can control him. So if you want Carrick, I would say, and you know what I'm like, I don't normally go, I definitely think that's going to happen. I think we're definitely signing Belabor in the summer, and I think we'll definitely give Carrick the job. And I'm relaxed about that. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm not going to scream and shout anymore about stuff like that. Let them do it. But my honest opinion is Carrick, Tuchel, Ancelotti, we'll be back here in a couple of years. I'm absolutely convinced in the next 2 or 3 years, we'll be back where we were at the start of this month, failing, because we did brilliantly yesterday and we did brilliantly against Man City. And maybe Michael Carrick is a brilliant coach. But if you don't have the support above you, it doesn't matter. I can't say to you, if Pep Guardiola got this job, he'd fail, and then say Michael Carrick will succeed. Like, he won't succeed because he won't have the support required. We're sat here this morning enjoying a fantastic result against Arsenal. Answer me this. In 2 years' time, will we be winning titles or will Arsenal be winning titles? There's a very honest answer there. And the answer is it won't be us. Because you look at what Arsenal had yesterday. You look at their starting 11 and you look at their bench. You look at us playing counter-attacking football on the edge, scoring worldies. We're right at our limit yesterday. We're right at the limit of what we can do. You look to the bench, there's not really anything there. You look to the way the team performed, absolutely to the limit. So many players playing to their limit. You know, worldie goals, what a performance. Arsenal played badly. They play badly, but across a 38-game season, they'll be somewhere between 10 and 20 points ahead of us, and probably next season and the season after that. So whoever the manager is, long-term, that what we've seen in the last two games is not going to happen consistently week in, week out with this setup, because you've got to have an Arsenal setup. And we are, in a way, being distracted by manager talk, thinking a manager can change it, just like Ten Hag, Ruben Amorim, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Jose Mourinho, Luis Van Gaal. We're walking down the same pathway again, and the Glazers must be there going, we've won, because we're talking about what manager. I would change Roy Keane's statement from Michael Carrick's not going to win Premier League titles to no manager's going to win Premier League titles here, because until we build that structure that Arteta is very fortunate to have, and Carrick schooled Arteta yesterday, but Michael Carrick's never going to have what Arteta's got. He's never going to have what Pep's got. He's never going to have what Slot's got. He's never going to have what Chelsea have got. We're never going to provide a manager what is required to compete at the top. So we can argue about the manager, but I'm not stressed about it. I think Carrick will get the job. I think he'll last 2 years, and then I think we'll be back here again. And if they give Tuchel the job, I think he'll last 2 years, and then we'll be back here again, because they will not support a manager in the way that you need to be supported now. And talking about the midfield, he can't even bring a sub on yesterday. He hasn't got anybody else. He obviously doesn't trust Ugarte in a game like that, and he has to stick with three players that are going to have to play 90 minutes every week. Now, unfortunately, we haven't got Champions League football, so we might be able to do it. But there's a bigger picture here, and it's not just about Carrick's going to solve everything. Look, I'll tell you the truth. Would I rather Michael Carrick won the Premier League title for Man United or Carlo Ancelotti? Well, it means more if Carrick does it, because there's more fantasy. There's more, you know, he played for the club, he's Man United. So of course I would want that to happen. I really would. But I don't think it can happen whoever it is, because I still think regime change is the change that we need. And I think we're always going to be able to go and do what we did yesterday, and it was absolutely incredible. But can we go and do it week in, week out? That's always going to be the question, isn't it? Niall says, as we've said time and time again, the ownership model is a major factor to whether a manager will succeed. We need owners who care about this club and are willing to give the manager what they need in order to succeed. I heard somebody say yesterday, you've got to give Wilcox credit for sacking Amorim and bringing Carrick in.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No, you haven't. He's got extremely lucky that Michael Carrick is actually good at his job. Extremely lucky. I mean, if Michael Carrick was so brilliant, why has he been sat jobless for ages? I mean, Man United have stumbled. They were going to give it to fucking Ollie. They've stumbled on Carrick. They're fucking lucky. They're lucky. They sacked Amrin because of a fallout, and they've given Carrick the job because most fans reacted badly to Solskjaer getting it. And Carrick's come in and done really well. Let's not pretend Wilcox unearthed the bloody gem. He's found him. He's basically, he looks like he's finished, and he's pulled out a bloody tenner out of his pocket, and he's got a little bit lucky, and he's played it all, and he has got lucky. The credit goes to Carrick, not to Wilcox. Victory is used as a decoy to lure fans off owners' sacks, as Amit. Are we all not just assuming Carrick is a bit of a pushover without knowledge? For all we know, he has the demands to the board like Tuchel would, says William. Seb is always right. United are going to win the league next year, mate, says PX. Anyone saying higher now, ask yourself what the risk in waiting versus offering now. If we wait till April, Carrick's still available. Offer now and it goes wrong. That's another year minimum going in the wrong direction, says Alec Miller. We've only lost two in the Premier League since September, says Christoph. Look, I was doing a video with Robbie this morning. You need to check it out because it was good fun. And he was saying, you know, United were a disaster under Amrin. And I went, hold on a minute, right? Like, we have to move on from Amrin. But there is a section of our fan base that are absolutely set on destroying Amrin's reputation to back Wilcox. I don't even think they realise they're backing Wilcox, but they're backing Wilcox over Amrin, which is just mad. Wilcox is an absolute clown and it's well known. But we've only lost five games in the Premier League this season. That's the same as Aston Villa and Manchester City. That's with Amrin, right? His job was to rebuild the club over 3 years. And a year in, he got the sack. Carrick's job is to get Champions League football over 4 months. The job description is completely different. Also, Michael Carrick's job is not to go in there and change the culture and upset people. Ruben Amrin's job was to go in there and change the culture, which is why he ripped people out, upset people. It's a completely different job. And also, no other manager has done that. No other manager has been allowed to do that. So the change in culture is why when Amrin got sacked, people like Bruno Fernandes, Harry Maguire, Ahmad, Cunha, and Mbeumo, all our big players, were grateful for Amrin. So this Amrin thing's weird to me because he got sacked falling out with Wilcox. All our big players now loved Amrin. He changed the culture at the club. The results weren't where they needed to be, but we didn't lose that many games. And also, we were in the top three for goals created and everything anyway. And you look at the work rate of Ahmad and Diallo, well, that, you know, Michael Carrick would admit himself, he can't come into the club in a week and make people run more. The intensity of our running was already there from the way we were working anyway. So, look, I think people are entitled to their opinions, but this whole, like, flip-flop thing just doesn't help. It really doesn't. There is nuance to everything, and the protests on Sunday should keep happening. Michael Carrick shouldn't be getting a contract today. Like, that they're just very obvious things, aren't they? Who knows what's going to happen in the future? Your top three picks for managers is Garfield. You're an arsehole. I don't want to talk about the manager and anything till April. I've said that before. I don't think there's any point. I think our immediate target is to win the league. But I would bring this in, and this might be a bit of a mic drop for some people. Forget Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Tell me an interim coach that's ever done any good. You give me an example of an interim coach that's done good. You're asking, if you're telling me we need to give the job to Carrick, you're asking me to believe in something that's never happened. It's never happened. So you want me to punt on a manager after two games where he's played really, really well and give him the job full time when realistically, as an interim, he's come in, hugged everybody and said, let's work hard for the fans, which is great. But when you're given the job full time, you've got to upset people. You've got to sign people. You've got to sell people. He can't play counter-attacking football every week either, can he? So there's a hell of a lot of things to still see about Carrick beyond two games against two teams that are better than us, that we counter-attacked and won and played well. So there's a hell of a lot more to see. But listen to this, right? People often ignore this one. Do you know the most successful interim coach I can think of? It's not Ole Gunnar Solskjaer winning eight in a row. It's not Michael Carrick beating Man City and Liverpool, Man City and Arsenal. It's Roberto Di Matteo. Listen to this. Di Matteo takes over Chelsea at the start of March 2012, right? They've just lost to Napoli in a Champions League knockout game 3-1. In the return leg, he wins 4-1 and knocks out Napoli and proceeds to win five Champions League games in a row and the Champions League. He also goes and wins the FA Cup, winning four games in a row. So he wins nine games in a row in the Cup from March to the end of the season to win the Champions League and the FA Cup. In the league, even though that's not my priority because they're focusing on the Cups, he wins six, draws three and loses three. So he wins 15 games between March and the end of May and wins the FA Cup and the Champions League. And they give him the job. What happened to Di Matteo next season? He was gone in no time. So, look, be careful, right? Be very careful. It's not Ollie. It's interim. Look at Di Matteo. That was incredible. Incredible. The amount of games he won. And you know what happened with Di Matteo? It wasn't even Di Matteo. It was John Terry and co. It was the players who decided that they were going to turn up and switch the light on for the rest of that season, and they became the best team in Europe. From sacking their manager at the start of March, they became the best team in Europe. So I'll repeat to you, I'm very relaxed about this. I'm absolutely convinced the club will give Carrick the job. And if you want that, that's absolutely fine. It terrifies me. It terrifies me that we're just going to make the same mistake again. The same mistakes we keep making. The insanity of doing the same thing over and over again. But I do think he will get the job, but I'm just very scared about it. Imagine the shock the owners would get if we all started protesting now. Back the protesters. The Glazers get off too many times with positive results, says Owen. But this is what I mean about it's an unfortunate truth, Owen, that in life in general, people are driven by simplicity. The nuance, the middle ground, is dying for extreme opinions of yes and no. People don't realise you can be, I'm not going to have an opinion on that. People don't realise that. I got asked something at the weekend, what I thought about Donald Trump and Greenland, and I went, got no opinion on it. Well, you've got to. I went, no, I haven't. I've had a busy month with Amrim getting sacked and Man United and everything else and my family. I haven't actually taken, well, you can't be like that. Well, I fucking am. I've took no interest in it. Now, you can judge me on that and say, well, you should take interest in it, but I haven't. So guess what? I don't have an opinion on it because I don't really know what's going on because I'm busy doing other stuff. And that's the problem. At the moment, it feels like you've got to be, don't give Carrick the job or do give Carrick the job. And I'm like, why would I make a decision about that at the moment? Why can't I just enjoy the fact that we're winning? Why can't I wait until the summer? And also, there's a big protest on Sunday, and it doesn't matter who the manager is, they will fail under this ownership. So you've got Rio cheerleading the Carrick Glazer movement, and you've got Roy Keane saying, don't give it to Carrick. And I'm sort of like, I'm not going to listen to either of you, to be honest. One, because you're doing it because you're being paid, I think. And two, you might be doing it because you're a bit bitter. I'd rather sit here and just go, I'm enjoying the wins. I want Champions League football. Let's make a decision in the summer. But I am scared. And I also do not think the manager... I will say this. I actually think the manager conversation is a smokescreen. I don't actually think the manager's going to make any difference. Why did Mourinho fail? Why did Ollie fail? Why did Van Gaal fail? Why did Ten Hag fail? Why did Rangnick fail? Why did Amrim fail? Because every single time, this board is not fit for purpose. So here we are again, walking down the road of, oh, should it be Carrick? Should it be Tuchel? And I'm like, it won't actually matter. It won't matter. They're still going to have the Glazers in charge of the football club. And it's impossible for us to compete at the level we want to compete with that ownership. I'm absolutely convinced. Hi, Mark. I think what Carrick is doing will help our manager search, show a quality manager that they can play football, and maybe this will influence an Ancelotti or Enrique to consider taking charge. As Mikey, it's a good point. Patrick Lynch says, thing is that this is Carrick's opportunity to show he can manage United. Working as an interim and being the permanent position is very different. We are in a very precarious place despite the two great wins. Slazy says, I'm on the fence about Carrick, but he deserves credit. Fletcher couldn't win against Burnley or Brighton. To be fair, the AFCON players had gone, so Slazy. I mean, look, you've answered your question yourself there. I think Carrick's done brilliantly and I think he is getting the credit. But the difference of having Ahmad and Mbeumo is, in my opinion, it's like Man City not having Haaland and Foden. It's like Arsenal not having Saka and Odegaard. Like, Ahmad and Mbeumo are just, I wouldn't say that they're our best players, but without them, what have you got? So I do think that we should have beat Burnley anyway. The goal that Martinez had ruled out was a goal. Brighton, we were shit. I mean, Brighton did deserve to beat us, I've got to say. But I do think it made a difference not having those players. And I think it made a difference for Amrim against Leeds and over Christmas as well. Like, we don't have the depth of squad to deal without Ahmad and Mbeumo. And you've seen how important they are. I mean, Arsenal were terrified of Mbeumo yesterday. And the work rate of Ahmad is incredible. What a joy to see a proper team effort again. But I don't trust this renaissance before I see how Carrick and the team handles the low blocks, as Marlowe. Carrick will be back next season as interim. Cycle repeats as Amit. Last two games, Mbeumo and Dorgu two goals. Cunha goal and assist. Bruno two assists. Is it time to bench Ahmad for Cunha? Mbeumo moves to the right and Cunha up top, says Rajaf. I mean, these are conversations that are great to have, but I just think people are sleeping on Ahmad again. I really do. I think Ahmad's work rate is incredible. And that's a testament to his positional change into the back five. He just knows how to track back and work hard now. And we always had this with Beckham and Giggs, and wide players that work back make you a hard team to beat. I mean, I looked at us against Arsenal yesterday. It was a back six. At times it was a back six. You had the back four and then the two people tucking in. And, you know, no, if we'd have lost that game, people might have picked up on the fact that Amrim got moaned up for a back five, but that was a back six for about half the game. But it worked, and the work rate of Dorgu and Ahmad is essential in a game like that. Hi, Mark. In spite of the Glazers, Ineos, could this current coaching team be a success if we recruited a best-in-class director of football to support them, says Colombo? No, because it's the Glazers who write the checks. Knack's manager won't have calmness like Carrick, says Amit. If we go the rest of the season with no losses, he 100% deserves the job, says Leo. Yes, the fans are important, but the performance falls on the players and they love Carrick and the results have been showing. Thank you, Leo. Hi, Mark. Been forever. Completely gave up on United after that final against Spurs. Trusted Amrim waiting, hoping, then the board sacked. Don't trust the board, but this is the best I felt in years. We won the United way, says Yechi. Well, welcome back. Carrick to set the tone for the next Premier League manager, says Amit. Amit, your comments are all over the fucking place. I'm not reading anymore. Like, you literally contradict yourself with loads of these chats. Steve Holland, masterclass, says Robert McCormack. Have you got shares in Steve Holland, Robert McCormack, or have you just got a poster that you're not one out to again? I mean, what is your obsession with Steve Holland? Oh, you've just reminded me, right, by the way. Roberto Di Matteo, you've just... Robert, thank you this morning, right? You know what I was saying about Di Matteo, right? And how people are getting obsessed about an interim again. Through history, interim managers do really well, get the full-time job, and then do really bad. It's stereotypical. It's proven 99% of the time that's what happens with an interim. They do really well, you give them the job, and then they can't do the job, right? We mentioned Di Matteo, probably the best interim manager in history in the Premier League, right? Takes over at the start of March. Wins, how many games did I say? 15 games. Wins 15 games between March and the end of the season. Wins the FA Cup, wins the Champions League. The legend of interim managers, and he's shit when he gets the job full-time and gets the sack, right? Guess who his assistant coach was? In the live chat. Guess who Di Matteo's assistant coach was when he became the best interim coach of all time? Guess. Guess. The best interim coach of all time, 15 wins, Champions League, FA Cup. Guess who his interim, assistant coach was? Steve Holland. It was Steve Holland. Steve Holland was Roberto Di Matteo's interim caretaker manager
when he became the best interim coach of all time, winning 15 games, including the Champions League and the FA Cup. Steve Holland was his assistant. I mean, look, that doesn't mean anything. Could mean everything. Could mean nothing. It's coincidence, but I'm just saying. If Ollie or Roberto weren't given the jobs after the turnaround and a world manager came in and failed, we all know what people would then be saying. Exactly, Stan. I said that at the start. Go, Joe. I'm just going to remove you. I'm not going to be rage baited by an idiot. Thank you very much. Liverpool going for Wharton in January. Watch our board do sweet F all, says Ollie. I mean, I've never heard such shit in all my life. They're not going to go for Wharton in January. Where's that coming from? I've not seen anything about that. No, I can't see anything about that, thank God. I'd want Carrick as a number two. It's ready-made, says Mark Ash. If Carrick wins all his games, I mean, that's not a bad idea. Carrick is the assistant. I mean, that's probably the... I mean, I don't think it would ever happen. I don't think he wants to be a number two, but... if Carrick wins all his games, the majority of the games, it would be bad business from the board not to give him the job, as there is no guarantee that an experienced manager comes in and gets results, says IC Entertainment. Well, no, I sort of disagree with that. I don't think it would be... What you're basically saying is, as an interim manager, if you win a load of games for Man United, you get the job. But every interim manager in the history of the Premier League has failed. And being an interim is very different to being the full-time coach. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer won 8 games in a row. I mean, Di Matteo won 15 games and won the Champions League. And he still flopped the next year. I mean, like, it's definitively proven that the job as an interim is different to being a permanent job. And the minute you get the permanent job, it all goes to shit. Like, is that not a bigger risk? I don't know. It's not my... I think he will get the job anyway, IC Entertainment. But I don't know why people are trying to rewrite history going, well, this will be different this time. But it never is different, is it? I'm scared of doing it. That's my stance. I'm scared of doing it because the evidence is that it will go wrong. Why a top-class manager? Amrin was supposedly a top-class manager. Well, no, Amrin wasn't a top-class manager, was he? Amrin was a Ten Hag manager. He was a potentially top-class manager. He wasn't proven. Cunha is banned for 2 games. No, he's not. I've purposely not spoken about the Cunha ban thing because it won't happen. He swore at the camera he won't get banned. He won't get banned. It just won't happen. And you know what? That's the sort of thing that belongs on the front page of The Sun. It's bollocks. I'm not even going to talk about it. I have to talk about it because someone's done a super chat, but he's not going to get a ban. He's not going to get a ban. The more Carrick wins, the more inept Ineos look. They adapted Amrim, changed United's formation and sacked him for ego, not results. Glinios out, says Brian and stuff. If Pochettino or Southgate is the alternative, then Carrick without a doubt, says Marlow, even if he only gets us into the Europa League. And Steve says, rest of the season and his job interview, it's not about winning the games, it's how many they win the games. I'm buzzing after the last 2 games, says Stephen. Giving Carrick the job is like marrying a no-strings-attached fling. The players feel no pressure under an interim. As soon as it's permanent, the mentality will drop, says Vibors. I mean, I think this is a very intelligent point because we can say, like Patrick said, there's a huge difference between an interim and a permanent manager, but there's no point saying there's a huge difference between an interim and a permanent manager without explaining it. And that's a very good point. When you've got an interim coach, there's no certainty. There's no future. There's no vision. It literally is day to day. Live for today. And players quite like that. There's no pressure. There's no pressure on the club. You just go out there and enjoy your football. But when you've got a permanent manager and there's a project and there's a vision, the pressure comes from that. Pressure comes on the manager. So it becomes a different world. That's why Solskjaer did really well until March. They gave him the job and we fell off a cliff. We went from winning every week to we couldn't fucking win because the mentality changes. And we know that this squad's got a weak mentality. So, look, I'm not actually, you know, Marlow was talking about the low block. I'm not worried about Fulham. I'm not worried about Spurs. I'm not worried about West Ham. I really don't think the light switch is going to go off just because it's a low block. They've got no pressure. They're playing with confidence. No one's getting on their back. Because there is no pressure, because we're in this weird situation, they'll keep playing well. The minute we start having a bit of pressure, maybe next season, like, let's try and challenge for the title, let's do well in the Champions League, I think we'll crumble again. Victory used as a decoy, done that one from Amit as well. Right, what about Ndidi? Says, I need to see Carrick against Fulham first, says Jacob. And if the manager doesn't matter, why not Carrick, says Lev? Well, that's not what I'm saying, is it?
Oh, God.
Should we just move on? Would you keep... Oh, no, I'll answer the question. Why doesn't... So, what I'm saying is, the better the manager, the more chance we've got of getting in the Champions League, winning an FA Cup. What I'm saying is, with this board, the best manager in the world won't win the league. Now, if you've got the best manager in the world, you might finish third and you might win the FA Cup. If you've got a crap manager, you might finish 10th and win nothing. So there is still going to be, with a better manager, a ceiling that's higher than that without a manager. But what I'm saying is, we won't win the league and we won't win the Champions League with this structure, whoever the manager is. Would you keep Casemiro? No, Prince, absolutely not. Hi, Mark. Amrim's football wasn't the issue. It was raw and needed polishing, but it was him as a person. He wasn't cut out for the club or the players, says the Fergie way. Well, I don't want to do this. Like, speak to Beth. She loves this conversation. I think it's lacks nuance. I think it's simplistic. And I think it caters to a certain type of people who just wants to swipe up and down and doesn't want to get into, like, detail. You say that Amrim wasn't cut out for the job or the players, and yet all our big players, when he left, were sad that he left and said thank you to him. All our players are working harder because of the work that's gone in to how we play. We were already in the top three for shots created, XG, shots in the box. We only lost 5 games.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
And he was well-liked by the players. So I don't agree with you on that. The results weren't where they needed to be. Absolutely, the results weren't where they needed to be. I think our problem under Amrim was he put Bruno in the midfield, which was criminal. And when we went ahead, he parked the bus. And you can't do that in the Premier League. And those two things, fundamentally, were probably why we drew more games than we won. But he also wasn't given the players for his system, a system we never should have played, a system that Ineos brought in. I think too many people blame Amrim as if Amrim walked into Man United, got Sir Jim Ratcliffe in a headlock and went, we're going to play a 3-4-3 and I'm going to put Bruno in the midfield. And that's not what happened. Man United forced Amrim to leave halfway through a season, sold him a lie, didn't give him midfielders, didn't give him wide players, and didn't give him the project he was meant to be given, and changed their mind a year in. Like they changed their mind on Ashworth, like they changed their mind on Ten Hag, like they changed their mind on Ollie being the interim. They're a dangerous entity at the top of this football club because they changed their mind on everything. And you can't blame Ten Hag or Amrim or Carrick or Ollie or anybody else if it goes wrong or it goes right, because they're making the calls. So we're going to win the Champions League next year, says Robert McCormack. Mate, you know what, Robert? I'll say this. If we were in the Champions League, I wouldn't be surprised if Carrick won it. And people will laugh their head off, but that's exactly what happened with Di Matteo. If you come in as an interim and capture the mood and the players decide to play, it's actually a well-trodden path. It's not unusual for an interim manager to come in and start winning loads of games. It's not unusual at all. And I think if we were in the Europa League, we'd probably go and win it. Or maybe the Champions League might be a bit too far. If Ollie or Roberto weren't given the jobs, I've done that one from Stam. Thank you very much. I need to talk to you about Ndidi. We have a record of turning up for big games, and on top of that, a manager bounce. Let's all be calm because fans may be getting hyped up for no reason, says Sturdy. Look, I don't think there's a problem with getting hyped up. I don't think there's a problem with saying give Carrick the job. There's no problem with that at all. Absolutely not. There isn't. It's absolutely fine. But there's no problem with saying I wouldn't give him the job either. I just think, like, let's enjoy the moment and see where we go. I mean, personally, I think it's ridiculous to say give him the job after 2 games. But look, there's ridiculous people out there. Rio the ridiculous. But also, I think it's ridiculous to say under no circumstances he can get the job. I think let's just see where we are in April. I think we're going to get Champions League football. I think Liverpool are dead. I think Newcastle just can't bounce back. And therefore, by default, the top five is already the top five. Chelsea and us have got really good games for the next month. Liverpool have got difficult games. Newcastle have got big difficult games. So I think top five is there. Dare I say it, I think we could lose a couple of games and still get top five. So we're in a really strong position. My big fear is that you look at the game yesterday and I felt that if you had a decent midfielder, you probably would have took Mainoo or Casemiro off with 20 minutes. I thought Mainoo's performance was okay. I thought Casemiro played well, but you would want to freshen it up in there. Naturally, it's the hardest place to play. He obviously has Ugarte, but he doesn't want to do it. So I think that if I was an intelligent director of football, I'd be like, these results are really good, but what if Mainoo gets injured? What if Casemiro gets injured? That midfield becomes really, really suspect. So I think this week, really important that we try and get a midfielder in. It probably will be Ndidi. I trust that information. And we have held talks with him. And I think he wants to do the deal. And I think United have to do something this week. I'd prefer it to be somebody better. Of course I would. But I think it's a numbers game now. It's a numbers game. And look, I know a lot of people don't want Ndidi. And I think it is laughable. And I think it is embarrassing. And it is open for ridicule. But you're still going to be in that position of there's a week left of this transfer window. Do you want nothing or do you want something? Well, look at what City are doing, Gehi and Semenyu. I wouldn't be surprised if Arsenal and Liverpool did something in the final week. But would you rather have nothing or something? It's got to be something. It's got to be something. I mean, if somebody can say to me that Casemiro, Mainoo and Bruno are going to play every single minute between now and the end of the season and be fit, okay, let's take the risk. But nobody can guarantee me that. So I'm like, beyond Ugarte, what have we got, really? All right, Mason Mount can play where Bruno is. But I think we've got to bring somebody in. I think we will bring somebody in this week. I've always felt that United wouldn't completely ignore this window. And can I just say as well, the club itself ridicule itself on the regular. This whole, we don't like to do business in January, is flawed. It's flawed on so many levels. Enzo Fernandez at Chelsea, etc., etc. But it's even flawed at our own club. Bruno Fernandez is definitely the best signing we've made since post Sir Alex. January signing, right? Dorgu is the definition of what a January signing should be. You bring them in January, you give them the last few months of the season to acclimatise so that the following season, they grow. It's like, if you plant the seed in January and you water it, it will start to bloom in about 6 months and grow. And he is growing now because we bought him in January last year. He put the hard yards in January. He saw, you know, difficulties, this, that and the other. And now we're benefiting from it. So the club's stance of not buying in January is actually flawed by its own evidence. Bruno was a January signing and Dorgu was a January signing. And look at... Dorgu would not be where he is now if he bought him in the summer. And apparently United think that's the time to buy players. If you can get players in January, it's look at Man City. They're doing it again. It works. Enzo Fernandez at Chelsea, you give them a few months to acclimatise so that when they hit the next season, they're ready to go. And look, I'm seeing Dorgu be likened to Gareth Bale by people at the moment. And yet, people in our fan base were calling him shit a month ago. And some of those people are the same people sat there going, I told you Amorim was shit. And I'm sort of like going, look, maybe you just need to understand nuance in football a little bit because you've outed yourselves wrongly about Dorgu. And here we are again, you know, another mistake. There's nuance to everything with Manchester United and the blame always goes back to the top. But I'm over the moon for Dorgu, but he is an evidence of why we should be doing something in January. I really do. Is Collier better than Ndidi, says Andy. Well, Collier's gone, isn't he? Do you like Carrick's football or do you think it's basic and limited, says Itchy? I don't think we've seen enough of Carrick's football. I think it's a great question. Somebody said that our midfield got dominated yesterday and we won the game with three shots. Well, what do you expect? It's the same as, like, I don't know what you expect. Like, you go to Arsenal, you play deep, you play compact, and you counter when you can. What's wrong with that? Can't do it against Fulham. Can't do it against Spurs. Got two home games coming up. We can't play like that against them. Because even if we win, I'd be saying, hold on a minute. I'm not signing up for this. I'm not signing up for bloody under 50% possession counter-attacking against Fulham and Spurs. So I look forward to the Fulham game. I look forward to the Spurs game because I think we'll play in a different way. I think there'll be more space. We'll have to be careful with the counter. I'd be very worried about Martinez and Maguire left on their own on the halfway line. But look, I'm sure Carrick's got a plan for that. So I ain't got a problem with the way that we've played. It's like watching the first 10 minutes of a film and then you're asking me to give you a detailed breakdown of a review. We haven't seen it. I haven't finished the book yet, you know? It's too early. But I haven't got a problem with the way that we've played. I haven't got... That is exactly the right way. Look, I'm no coach at the level that Carrick is, but if I was playing Arsenal and Man City, I'd play exactly the same. It was exactly the right way of playing. How bad must Ugarte be to want Ndidi, says Stephen? I think Ugarte's done at United. Ten Hag didn't want him. Amrim had him at Sporting and didn't really rate him. So, you know, Ten Hag had him bought for him and didn't use him. Amrim used to have him at Sporting and didn't use him. Carrick's not you. I just think he's finished. I think he's finished at United. I don't see a way back for him. It's a shame, but I just don't see a way back for him. Hire a world-class coach and get Carrick as assistant, says Victor. If Ndidi is the only option, then we do it. It's Rabiot all over again. We will pretend to splash the cash, then buy cheap, says Keel. Ray Carl Brown Amore, legend, says, I don't like trading manager in against each other, but I feel Amrim laid the foundations because it's Mbeumo, Cunha, Dorgu who stepped up and the work rate changed. These things weren't there last year. Yeah, look, I've got no problem with people having a pop at Amrim. The results weren't good enough. I hated Bruno in the midfield and we were crap at defending Leeds and sitting back. But there was a lot of stuff that he did that was good. And following the game for as long as I have, there's absolutely no way you can come into a team in January and in a week make them work that hard against Man City and Arsenal unless they've got the foundations of fitness and intensity. So we had those foundations. We did work incredibly hard, especially Dorgu and Ahmad in the 3-4-3. So we need to move on from Amrim, but this whole Amrim was the problem is idiotic, in my opinion, because there was a lot of good things that he did and there was a lot of bad things that he did. So, you know, it's balanced, isn't it? Done that one. Thank you. We need to wait until the summer on Carrick. No benefit to giving him the job now until we really know what he can do. Europe. Remember Ollie drop off, says Nick. Yeah. Recon guy. I'm going to come back to that. Recon guy says joined really late, but being scared is true because what if they don't go and buy him what he needs? We can't commit until these owners are out, says Recon guy. Exactly. And I think just to clarify a situation for a moment. I actually think that if you see a house that you like in an area you want to buy, and then the estate agent rings you up and says, we've got four other houses in the same area. If you just go, well, I'm just going to buy that house. That's risky. I think you should always go and have a look at the other ones, you know? If you've got a job offer and it's a job you really like, well, look, let's make it even easier. If you're a footballer, right, and you're a Man United fan, but Man United don't want you. So Real Madrid ring up and they make a good offer and you think, I like this offer. But then Barcelona, Bayern Munich, they ring up and PSG and you go, well, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm just going to take the Real Madrid. I think that's foolish. Now, some of you might just take the Real Madrid job, but the Real Madrid offer as a player. But I'm going to speak to PSG. I'm going to speak to Bayern Munich and I'm going to speak to Barcelona because then I'm going to have all the information. And then I'm going to go back to Real Madrid and I'm going to go, well, look, they're saying all of this. Are you going to do that? Now, what I mean with that is if we just go, Carrick's got us in the Champions League and we give him the job, some of us will say, well, Di Matteo won the Champions League and he got the job and he got sacked. Ollie did really well and never did anything as really, did he? So you're going to make the same mistake that this club's made before and Chelsea have made on Carrick just because he qualified for the Champions League. without speaking to Thomas Tuchel, all these other people, like, I believe even if they want to give Carrick the job, they've got to interview the other people. That's just common sense. Because you might interview Pochettino and he might say, if I come into the club, I want these players and I'm going to do this. And you might go, that was really interesting what Pochettino said. Let's speak to Carrick about it. And you go to Carrick and you know, when we were speaking to Pochettino, he said he'd do this. And Carrick might go, well, yeah, I think it's a good idea. Let's do that. Like, it makes total sense to me that we go. And also, remember, we're playing one game a week. How does Michael Carrick deal with playing two games a week? What experience has he got of managing a team that's going to be in the Champions League and in the Premier League? You know, there's a lot of things to consider. But look, I totally respect everybody that's saying giving him the job. It's a hyped fan base. It's a positive fan base. It's an emotional fan base. And we're not meant to be. I remember saying this about Ollie, right? We are meant to sing and dance and make songs up and say, give him the contract. That's emotional. The board are meant to be emotionless. They're meant to make decisions that are intelligent. They're not meant to make fan decisions. Let's see what they do. Too soon for the office as Iraqi, but Carrick went above Poch for me in desirability. Below Tuchel and Ancelotti for now. His style is more like Sir Alex than Ollie, says Iraqi. Mate, you do realise, and I think some people need to remember this, you do realise Michael Carrick was with Ollie. You do realise that Michael Carrick was a big part of Ollie's style of play. You do realise that Carrick was with him for the whole time. Like, it's like people are forgetting that. I just want to say, like, he is there. He was there. Like, they did. McKenna, Carrick and Ollie worked extremely close. You can learn from that and change, definitely. But let's not pretend that Ollie and Carrick aren't at least cut from the same cloth in relation to what was going on there. For me, I will concede this. I don't really want De Zerbi, Glasner. I don't really want them types of managers. And if you're going to take De Zerbi over Carrick, then I'm probably not going to do it. Even now, I'd be saying, I don't really want De Zerbi. But if we're talking Enrique and we're talking Tuchel, I mean, that terrifies me that we might ignore that to go with this. Appointing a manager is going to mess up the transfer window. New manager might want new players' way of playing. Merry-go-round, says Fergie Way. And Amit's gifted 10 memberships. You're a legend, mate. Mate, this is another good point before I go. This is exactly why I think they'll give Carrick the job. Because we can't wait until after the World Cup to sort our transfer business out. Look, remember what I'm saying. Remember what I'm saying. Because there's going to be a lot of talk about Tuchel and Enrique and Pochettino. And, you know, they'll be favourites. They're going to get the job. All this, right? I'm telling you now. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I'm telling you now. Absolutely convinced. Start of next season, Michael Carrick's the manager with a 3-year contract. I'm absolutely convinced. And that's because our board are so predictable, right? They're going to be sat there with a smile on their face going, we've got somebody come in who the fans really love, who protects us, who's cheap, who we can manipulate and buy who we want. Let's work. We can go and speak to Elliot Anderson in March and say, Michael Carrick's the manager, keep it to yourself. Like, we can go and speak to Adam Wharton and say, Michael Carrick's the manager, keep it to yourself. We're in the Champions League, come to Man United. We can't go and speak to Elliot Anderson and go, we don't know who the manager is yet. Do you want to come? They're gonna give the job to Carrick. They are gonna give it to Carrick. So if you want Carrick, you should be very, very excited. They are gonna give him the job. And I'm calm about that. I figured that out. I figured that out before the Arsenal game. He's cheap, he's eager, and it allows them to go to players telling them what's going to happen in the summer, which is essential if they want to get players. So thanks everyone for watching. Great show this morning. 56% of you wouldn't give him the job, 44% of you would. I think that's only going to go higher. So get ready. It's going to happen, in my opinion. Thank you so much for being respectful and of each other and understanding that you know, it's okay to have different opinions and it's okay to discuss. But look, as I said, I'll say it if they give him the job tomorrow or they give it him in July. It terrifies me. I want him to do well, but it terrifies me because I think in life, most of the time, the evidence is out there. And it doesn't go well with interims. Take care. Speak to you all in a bit. What we got the rest of the day? Got Beth on at 2. And we've got me at 8, unless anything else happens. So take care. Stay safe. And you know what? I will say this. Well, what makes me happiest this morning is that it's there. It's right fucking there. It's there. It's fucking there. You know what's in there? You know what's fucking in there? You know what's in our hands? You know what's right fucking in there? European football. I can't do another year of this shit. It pisses me off. You know when you get a good result or a bad result and it's Monday morning and you go, we're not playing again till Sunday? I fucking hate it. I absolutely fuck it. I'm going to speak honestly now because I've been holding this in for 5 months, right? I think we're going to get European football out. I'm absolutely convinced. And I'm always the person that will be, I don't care, I'll say it. I'm 95% sure we're signing Belaba. I'm 90% sure Carrick will get the job in the summer. And I'm 90% sure we're going to get European football. So let's see if I'm wrong on all of those. I think I'll be right. But I'm so fucking fed up of the embarrassment of having a Premier League game and then not having another game. You know, in February, it's not even an international break, but we don't play. We've got a whole 2 weeks off because we're out the FA Cup and we're not in Europe. And I'm like, it's in our hands. The Champions League is in our hands. The Europa League, as a minimum, is guaranteed. Thank God. It's embarrassing. It's bloody embarrassing that we've got hardly any football this year. And look, whoever the manager is next season, that's a big, big thing. Because this is, you know, I know it's been Amrim, it's now Carrick. This is a false economy. This is like having a business and it only opens half a week. You get 4 days off a week, you only work 3. Football's meant to be 24/7 when you're a big club. So whoever the manager is next season, some of these players are in for a shock. I mean, how's Luke Shaw going to survive? You know, he's going to have to double up on whatever he's doing. Mason Mount may as well bloody retire. So, but look, I want that. You know what as well? I love the new Champions League format. I thought I'd hate it. I actually love the 8 games. You play different teams. I actually love, and to not be in it, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. So look, it's in our hands. That's the thing that's making me most excited. I loved beating Arsenal. I loved beating Man City. But if we're being completely honest, I've seen Ollie do it. Even Amrim's been to Anfield and the Etihad and won. Mourinho did it. It's great when you do it, but it means nothing if you're not in the Champions League. So that's what's making me excited. Have a great day, everybody. Stay safe. I'll speak to you soon. Make sure you smash a like on the video. And of course, take care. And I'll speak to you very soon.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.